Blog Talk Radio.
Radio. This is Gloria Stanley, your host with the most media scope of love and hope in times like these during COVID-19. The world has changed literally in a twinkling of an eye. Limited travels, quarantines, curfews, social distancing, and so much more. Holy smoke! And we are in this together. Even church services are being held through conference calls, YouTube, Zoom, or selected channels. However, through all of these challenges, we will survive because in essence, to all of these components, we all possess what it takes to get us through this, and that is the human heart. Love resides there, people. Love resides in our hearts and empowers us to care. And today, I have a very special guest with me who cares, George McCandless, who is president and CEO of United Way of Central Georgia, is my guest. He is a champion and a philanthropist in helping others. His mission and vision with United Way are embedded in helping to enhance and to unite the people of the betterment of people and their lives through guidance to overcome. Need I say more about this man? Well, I could, but I'm going to introduce you to him. And I'm going to say good morning, Mr. McCandless. Welcome to Happy Talk Radio.
Good morning, Gloria. It's a pleasure to be on with you. You need to call me George, though.
Okay. Thank you so much, George. Welcome to Happy Talk Radio.
And I want to echo what you were saying there in your introduction about, kind of how the community is coming together. And, you know, United Way's mission has always been to strengthen the ability of our community to care for one another. And I think we've been doing a good job of that in normal times, but, you know, they say in every dark cloud, there's a silver lining, and there's several silver linings I have seen already in this pandemic that we're enduring. But one of them has been how so many parts of the community are coming together to make sure that those of us that are the most vulnerable don't get left behind. I mean, there have been so many different things. The food bank, Jeff Batcher and the team over there, I mean, they basically are working around the clock to try and keep up with the demand. And you know, food is probably the number one most basic need that we all have. And, you know, in this current situation, I mean, there's already food insecurity in our community, with the food deserts and the inability for a lot of people to have easy access to healthy food. Now, even more people that have lost their jobs because their employer may have either closed or laid them off. They're in need of the food. And so, just last week there was a mobile food drive, and there were over 1,000 cars lined up to try and get in and get a box of food. So, but we had volunteers that were out there working to make sure that that all the food was distributed as quickly as possible. And then, you know, other organizations, Meals on Wheels, there's an increased demand for so many of the seniors, and rightfully so, that are worried about getting out in public. Even though the grocery stores are still open, if you're in that 65 and older range, it's still not totally safe to get out in public, even with a paper mask and gloves on. And so, you know, we're trying to find ways to get groceries delivered to people. And there have been organizations and people in the neighborhoods that have stepped up that want to work with that. So it's, again, I mean, it's a scary time. It's certainly a disruptive time, but it's seeing a lot of community spirit rise up during this time.
So what has been the impact in terms of United Way fulfilling the objectives during this COVID-19 with the staff on hand?
Well, if I'm going to take one step back, and the first thing that we did is partnered with the Community Foundation, and Catherine Dennis, that is the president there, we talked, and so we went together collaboratively and formed this Central Georgia COVID-19 Response and Recovery Fund. And many of the local foundations contributed, in addition to United Way and the Community Foundation. Peyton Anderson Foundation contributed $500,000. The Knight Foundation contributed $725,000. The Wilbur and Hilda Glenn Family Foundation put in $30,000. The Griffith Foundation put in $50,000. The Betty and Davis Fitzgerald Foundation put in $15,000. We got over $50,000 from anonymous family foundations and individuals that put money in. And so that has given us at least the base of a fund that we can make sure that these most critical agencies out there can continue to thrive. So getting around your question, what are we doing? One thing that we're doing collectively with the Community Foundation is every other week we're doing a series of 8 phone calls with key sectors in the community. We have one on food insecurity. We have one on child care. We have one on health. We have one on shelter. We have one that deals with seniors, one that deals arts and culture, even one that focuses on animals. And what we're doing is we're then the leaders of all these organizations in those sectors. It's a way that they can talk among themselves and that we can hear, you know, what their needs are and where there may be gaps in services. And then that's what's driving how our oversight committee is determining where to invest these funds. So a lot of what our staff is doing right now is they're all kind of focused on communicating with the agencies that are still on the front lines providing services. You know, the food bank, the Meals on Wheels, Crisis Line and Safe House, the volunteer clinics, folks like that, that Salvation Army, Daybreak, that are still trying to deal with the homeless. A lot of people aren't able to shelter at home. They're you know, the healthcare workers and the emergency responders, they deserve all the kudos that they receive because they truly are at the front lines. But a lot of people, I don't think, know that there's still a lot of these nonprofits, both staff and volunteers, that are having to be out there to make sure that they can deliver these services to the people that depend on them.
So could you share what a model looks like if an agency comes to you requesting funds to help their nonprofit organization? What that model looks like?
Yes. Specifically through the COVID fund?
Yes.
Yeah. So if they approach us and all we ask is that they tell us, you know, exactly what the need is, what the gap in service is, and kind of detail, you know, how they would spend the money. For example, you know, the Salvation Army here in Bibb County came to us, and because of the shelter-in-place rules, they were actually, you know, they had 122 people that were sheltering in place permanently at their facility, which is not normally how they operate. You know, the folks will come there at night, but then they leave during the day. And so that meant that they were having to feed them more often than they normally do. It was like 1,700 extra meals a week. And they were also having to staff 24 hours a day, which they didn't normally have to do when no one was there. And so we helped them with that. The food bank, obviously, they've had several needs. One is they had a critical need for additional part-time staff because they've lost all their volunteers. That they normally depend on to pack boxes and load trucks and help distribute. So we were able to help fund them getting a couple of temporary part-time people. And then one that I want to mention that I'm really excited about, going back to the food distribution and, you know, the fact that we had one last week with over 1,000 cars. So we have reached out to our faith community, and we have four ministers that have stepped up. And on May the 2nd, we're going to do four mobile food pantries at different sites in Bibb County. And, you know, I want to give a special shout out to Pastor Paul Little, Dominique Johnson, specifically they Larry Schlesinger, Rabbi Schlesinger. They were kind of the impetus behind that. And so what we're able to do with the fund, we're going to pay for the truck. So they're going to have their own truck because the food bank doesn't have enough trucks to be able to support that many at one time. And we're going to pay for the trucks. They're going to go pick up the food and take it to their sites. And then they're going to get volunteers from their church to work and box the food and then distribute it. So just if I could give a shout out, the distributions are going to be at Bibb Mount Zion, at the Community Church of God in Bloomfield, the old Harvey Shopping Center on Sherling Plaza, and the old Kroger parking lot on Pinona. And as I mentioned, Paul Little, Dominique Johnson, Chris Carter and now Jason McClendon with the Community Church of God. They're the four that are going to step up, organize, get the volunteers. And, you know, we're thinking that each church now may be able to handle 300 to 500 cars. So we may feed more people in one day or distribute to more people in one day than we've ever imagined. That 1,000-car distribution was the biggest one ever, but this one could even blow that out. So, again, it's May the 2nd, and it's an example of how the community is coming together. The nonprofits are working with the faith community, and at the end of the day, it's all about making sure people don't go without.
Well, George, you know, the theme of United Way is all for one and one for all. Be the good. And, you know, the Bible instructs us to do unto others as we would have them do unto you. Share your thoughts in terms of the commonality of those two quotes or two thoughts.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly that they do seem to kind of blend together there. But, you know, whether it's a spiritual feeling or, you know, just the kind of, you know, internal moral compass that people have about helping others. You know, obviously throughout the Bible, there are plenty of stories and teachings about helping those less fortunate. And, you know, right now, so many of us are fortunate to be able to shelter at home and to, you know, still be able to work, still have their job uninterrupted. You know, food is not an issue. Health care is not an issue. But not only are there a lot of people that did not have that before this happened, but now there are even more that are experiencing that had a job and now don't. And, you know, I was always raised, and I've heard Judge Colvin say that the rent that we all pay for living here on earth is to help those that are less fortunate. And now's the time when we really need that help. You know, if people can volunteer, there's still a lot of volunteer opportunities. We need volunteers, especially in the food distribution area. It's safe. You know, all the social distancing precautions are taken into place. But if you don't want to volunteer, you know, if you would like to contribute, we certainly, this fund that we started, it sounds like a lot of money, but it's going fast. And so we're going to need the support, continued support of the community here. We've been talking a lot about food, but if I could, I'd like to talk a little bit about children right now. So, you know, when the schools were closed and all the children were sent home, it was done so, and the schools were going to convert to virtual learning. And several districts, Bibb and Houston, Baldwin, for example, they were able to give all the children a Chromebook. So they had a device, but not all children have internet access. And so that device doesn't do you any good. Yeah. And one thing that we've been working with on this fund, we just made two grants this past week to Houston County and to Baldwin County to pay for internet access for these families that don't have it right now. But we have, there are thousands of children in Central Georgia that don't have internet access, so they're not able to take advantage of the virtual learning. which then leads me into the next step. We are working with many of our after-school partners that normally they do summer camps once school is over, the Boys and Girls Club, Motivating Youth, Campus Clubs, and others, to address the summer slide issue where children that don't have some kind of educational engagement in the summer can lose up to 2 months of their education. Well, now a lot of these children, I mentioned that not only is there the summer slide, but we're dealing with the spring slide because they're going to be out of school for a couple of months. I heard a number that I think it was last week, 5,000 children in Bibb County were not able to access the virtual learning. So basically they're out of school.
Wow.
And they're trying to take steps to, you know, get them packets of, you know, the old traditional paper packets where they can do their work. But I think what we're looking at doing is, you know, once we do get back to a little normalcy, is trying to partner with the schools, with our nonprofit partners, and really focus on education work. And I don't know if all the people listening know that you've been a big participant in our Read United program over the years, but which is our reading tutoring program in the schools. But I'm thinking that hopefully a lot of our tutors would be willing to come back and tutor in the summer since we missed over a month of tutoring when the schools closed, so that we don't lose. I mean, these children could, I mean, basically lose half a year or more of their education. And so for the ones that were struggling already, they're going to be even further behind next year when school starts. Right now we're dealing with, you know, the immediate needs of food, but we're also trying to make sure that we can support the recovery efforts, which would be things like helping them educate our children.
Well, we have, George, we have about 7 more minutes left. In reference to what you were saying about the school system, I guess a good question on the Read United program is what the model will look like because of the pandemic in the classroom setting. So do you have any idea how they will maybe restructure? Because I think the norm has shifted here now, and no one really knows what everything is going to look like when we can go back to work. Do you have anything you would like to share pertaining that?
No, Gloria, I wish I was that smart and I knew what it was going to look like coming out of this. But as you said,
yeah.
Nobody really knows. Even the really smart people don't know. I do know, though, and as you know well, that most of our tutoring is done in small groups. I mean, at the most,
right,
you're tutoring 3 children at one time. And so I think that's kind of a small group, and I think that we can handle the distancing, and, you know, we may need to wear a mask. But I think if the schools are open, that we can still safely get back in and do the tutoring. I guess my biggest worry is so many of our tutors, especially with our AARP Experience Corps program, are 60 and above. And so they're still going to be in that sort of dangerous zone where my understanding is once we get things open back up, that's still not going to make this virus go away. And you know, the people in those danger groups still are going to have to practice some, I think, sheltering at home and the safe distancing. And I'm worried that it's going to end up reducing our volunteer pool for our tutoring program.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can definitely tell you that from my observation right now, being a part of the program, that a lot of the tutors are eager to come back. They are missing the children. They are missing the environment. They are missing the experience. So I think that, you know, we can't walk around in fear, and that we will overcome and not let fear be the factor in terms of us, in terms of what we do in our society to help others. So I honestly do believe that you know, that will not be as dire an issue as we may think now. But anyway, I want you to know, George, you are a hero. And I have a special song I want to play, at least a portion of it, before we end this episode. Also, before I do this, I would love for you to give us a number in terms of where people can reach out to United Way.
Okay. The easiest way to reach out to United Way is to go to our web, unitedwaycg.org, and when you get to our landing page, the main picture there is our COVID fund. And if you click on it, it will take you to the link where you can volunteer. We have a lot of resources there. We have the 211 information if you need any kind of help. And if you're interested in donating to help our children and our less vulnerable or our most vulnerable families, there's a link that you can donate as well.
Well, let me also add to that the 211 dial-in number is 478-254-6726, and that it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Am I correct?
That is, if you're in Central Georgia, you can literally just dial 211, and someone will get the phone and talk to you and find out what your need is and refer you to help.
Okay, well, George, you are a champion. We have about 2 minutes left, and as I said, I would like to close with this song because you are a champion and a hero, and we really do admire everything that you're doing in our community, and we look forward in terms of connecting more and doing more, especially in times like these. This is Gloria Stanley with Happy Talk Radio, here with the most interesting and happy talk in terms of keeping the world, the city, inspired. Is there anything else you would like to share before we close?
No, you've been too kind. I appreciate the kind words, and I thank you for allowing me to come on and do your show with you.
Well, it's all about you being the hero. Thank you for being my guest, George.
Thank you, George.
There's a hero. If you look inside your heart, you don't have to be afraid of what you are. There's an answer. If you reach into your soul, and the sorrow that you know will melt away. Cast your fears aside, and you know you can survive. So when you feel like hope is gone, look inside you and be strong, and you finally see the truth that a hero lies in you. Faithful.